for the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And are we still smug and happy?
We are smug and happy. I mean, this is the point where the rubber hits the road. Now, Nick, I remember in 1996 and 2002, the years after our other recent years of far less success, but still relative to success to the other years, when you come into the new season having achieved something in the previous one, you sort of, there's an air of expectation when at least half the games when you're playing against lesser teams, you expect to win, which is a very rare feeling for Richmond fans. We're used to hoping to win and expecting to lose. And you know, like this week, we are 30-point favourites, and I actually think that's probably too low. I am in no way emotionally prepared for the potential for a potential loss, which is a completely different psychology I think I've ever had to a Carlton game.
Well, it is a very different start to a Carlton game because, I mean, A, with the reigning premiers, and they're going to be unveiling the premiership flag at the start of the game, so that'll be the first hint that's something different. For a fun fact that you'll probably appreciate, this is the highest betting line this decade, even going back to when the shoe was on the other foot in 2010. So yeah, it does feel different. And look, we'll discuss the game in more detail. But yeah, I'm in a similar place of, I'm almost stressed about how unstressed I am about the game.
Yeah, this is a path to contentment and happiness, which is a path that Richmond supporters do not travel upon. So, you know, as I said, I just presume things are going to go wrong. But, you know, Nick, the more I look at Carlton, I don't think it's going to be this week. You know, we're going to get rolled in games. We're going to get upset this year when we're favourites, but I just don't think it's Carlton who are going to do it.
Look, where everyone's seemingly confident in the sustainability of the new Richmond, like it's hard to find things to be angry about. Although, look, AFL headquarters are doing their best to step into the void, and there's the odd Gary Lyon out there who are still non-believers, but yeah, the consensus seems to be of people being confident that you know, we'll again be a contender, if not necessarily the premiership favourite. As I said, I keep wondering, something disastrous has got to happen.
Yeah, look, a couple of things on that. Firstly, who cares what the pundits think? Like, it's an unpredictable game, and except for one Richmond supporter, no one predicted us to be top four last year. No one predicted us to be win a flag. So what they say has no impact on how we play. And secondly, I thought an interesting thing, which slightly contradict myself about what pundits say. The Age Footy podcast had a point that someone was down at training on the weekend and said they've never seen a football team where people look so confident. So, and you know, they're massively bought in on the mindfulness thing, which I'm perfectly okay with as long as Blake Carousel is still doing her game plan. And you know, everyone's drinking the Kool-Aid, so fantastic. But Nick, you touched on the AFL, and I will find something, I can bring something that we can be annoyed about a bit later to do with Richmond, but you've touched on the AFL, and for some unknown reason, they decided that to enhance our brand experience and perhaps also to update their copyright, they re-recorded the songs. How did you feel about the club songs? How did you feel about that?
Look, I prefer the sound of the old one. I don't mind the lyric change. I mean, I'm probably very much on the low side on the outrage meter compared to everyone who replied to our tweet. It's the cumulative effect of the preseason that really gets to me, that they had a successful product in AFLW and they seem to fail to consolidate it. And we've far too much time this preseason has been spent on self-inflicted injuries by the AFL, on the neglect of Tasmania, of Gillon McLachlan thought bubbles. And it's distracted from the product, which is a shame. But because they're going to get 90,000 people to our game. Like it's set up for a bumper round one, and sadly, football hasn't been the story.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain level of everything in Melbourne's controversial about football. I mean, the song change is minor, but it was just why, that was especially. The team with the most iconic song just won a premiership for the first time in 37 years. That song has now become very important to people. Even a minor change to it is going to be sensitive. Now, sort of, it is irrational to get so upset about a minor change. But, people aren't rational in Melbourne about football. The AFL has such market penetration, is so culturally important. To sort of say, it's like, the AFL execs should go back to their marketing textbooks when they hacked through their mediocre degree and look what happened when New Coke was introduced in the 80s. It's just sort of not understanding why your product is popular, and to sort of think that people would be okay with this, it's just silly. Oh, it's just a minor change. To your football, wars have been started in religion about minor debates and doctrine, and football is, sadly, or for better or for worse, is religion in Melbourne people. Anyway, it was silly, but actually when I heard the song, it wasn't too bad, but I can't believe they changed it. The other stuff, I do feel that the AFL, overall have done a very good job with women's football, and we shouldn't forget that. We shouldn't forget how hard it is what they're doing, and, they're still building something pretty good. But let's get back to Richmond, Nick. We are Richmond Tiger Talk. So the sort of the lead into the game, our membership numbers are absolutely ridiculous. I've paid for six personally. It's all very exciting. But what are you looking for from the game?
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to the routine of, I love the routine of football season generally, the doing the footy tips, checking the coaches' votes, the VFL report. Like the week is fantastic, and then never mind the actual game and being nervous for the game and being distracted about the game. And then, either you're picking yourself up off the floor or you're looking forward to the replay. Like it's a big part of your life, and the prospect of having a top four team, and it's been so long since we've been a consistent top four team like that. I think it's okay to have a bit of not to be outraged that not everyone is picking us to win the flag. Like we did, everything went right in the final series. And we are thin in a couple of positions, but it feels like the structure's sustainable. Like it feels like there's no reason that a top four, top five isn't entirely feasible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, statistically, most teams in the AFL haven't repeated in recent years. So, it is reasonable prima facie to be sceptical that any first-time AFL premiership team will repeat. Once you've done two, the recent history is it's easy to get to three, but yeah, getting to two is hard. But I completely agree with your overall analysis. Like, we're very vulnerable to injury in a few spots, as most teams are. You can only lose a couple of your best players, and you know, I worry about certain things. Nank was great last year and he's a hero and we will forever love him. But, you know, he was getting beaten in a lot of his matchups, and he's an absolutely key player in our team. You can find other weaknesses. But if you look at the overall level of how the team was playing, you know, and you take the last 10 weeks as a block, I know that's very selective, but we were playing brilliant football. And there's all the, while we've got some injuries, none of our best players are injured. And we forget, you know, Prestia was bad at the start of last year. He, relative for the first half of the year, not having him around is no bad thing. Like, missing the Prestia who showed up in the finals, that's bad. But, you know, we can win regular season games without Dion Prestia. Not so Alex Rance, but that's okay. So we've got it. And Prestia will be back soon. Hooley looks like he'll play. So we basically got the full team. Broad will be back in week four or week five. You know, we've got the full team pretty much, and Rioli will probably be back around week six or seven. So there's no structural reason. I agree. And we've got some, as much debate, we've got some talent pushing through. No one's really getting at the end of their age range. I mean, there's actually no reason why we won't be as good as last year.
Yeah. Look, if you're wanting to go glass half empty, Basha Hooley being 30 years old and having calf troubles worries me a bit, just because we've had, you know, Lids went a decade without ever getting injured, and then he got to his late 20s and started having calf troubles, and he's never stopped having calf troubles. So that's probably the one I worry about the most. You know, Shai Bolton's makes the Daniel Rioli absence a lot easier to manage, and, you know, whoever out of Short and Conker comes through, who we play in defence, you know, there's some depth there. Like, I really feel like we've got about 28 very potentially very solid players. Like, I mean, as always, once you get into the 30 to 40 part of your list, it's a lot weaker. But we managed last year when Jack missed some football. Like, we managed when Nank missed a week. Like, the structure feels pretty robust.
But yeah, one of my fears with the Bolton, because obviously he's got the attacking chops, and probably adds a very useful dimension to the team, is the question is, will the defensive pressure be the same? Because, you know, this was what built the team, and it was fanatical, and it worked, and it was beautiful, but it's clearly not easy to do, because it's never really been replicated before. And you take one player out, you know, we had four players who were just incredible at putting on pressure, and we had a key forward who did it really well too. You know, you take even just one block out of that, you know, you sort of wondered whether it was an exponential effect, that there was just no breathing room at all. As soon as you take one piece out, you sort of, people get a bit more breathing room and they feel a bit more confident, and then they stop hearing footsteps all the time. So, you know, that's if you go glass half empty, you question also whether the forward line was just this beautiful piece of magic that's not sustainable if we don't have the right kick. Smalls putting on the pressure. But as you point out, we did survive the Jack absence, which, you know, frankly, I wouldn't have expected at the time.
Mm. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty strangely confident. And Adelaide are starting to get a couple of injuries for the round two game. Like, yeah, pump the brakes. Do you want to talk about the Carlton game?
So if you look at Carlton, if it was any other team but them, I almost start to feel sorry for them. Firstly, I didn't like the way they were coached last year. They sort of reminded me of the worst of Damien Hardwick's over coaching defensive tactics. But they're even worse at scoring than we were when we were really grinding ourselves into the dirt. And they were the worst team in the AFL by far in scoring last year. Really very ugly football. And, you know, if you look at their best and fairest, you know, they got their first All-Australian, since almost 6 or 7 years. And then he promptly did his knee. So he's out for this year. They lost their, I think Gibbs came fourth in their best and fairest. They lost him, obviously. Another one in their top five in their best and fairest is 33. And they've got, they relied, I think Cruiser came second in their best and fairest, who's had a surprise, is been injured in the preseason, will probably play against us, but he's not 100%. You know, and they picked up some guys, some of whom are injured, but it's just, doesn't, obviously they're young kids, they've got some good young kids there, but I was reading one of the season previews, and basically they, you know, a reason for hope was the kid that they drafted last year, like a few months ago, was going to step into the midfield and play more. Like, that's not good when the, you know, the best that Jono can say about you is the really talented kid you just drafted is going to step into your midfield. Well, it doesn't work like that in the AFL.
What's really pleasing to me about Carlton's demise is that for all that we were traumatised by the loss in 2013, the flip side to it is that it seems to have put back their rebuild. So for several years we've commented on the narrative has been that Carlton are rebuilding, when actually we've consistently been the younger team when it comes to round one. And, you know,
they've been older in general.
Yeah, and part of it is that they haven't, it was a bit of a Clayton's rebuild there for a while, and I think they've only really, they've finally, the last 2 years, traded away some guys and actually got a young team, because they had a massive donut hole in their list of the 23 to 27-year-old players that you could build a team around. So, yeah, I'm worried. I'm worried about 2020 or so Carlton, but yeah, I think the rebuild's got quite a long way to go. And part of it, you're saying about them being defensive. Part of that is the Hawthorn DNA, and we have had horrible first-hand experience of quite how miserable and defensive that Hawthorn game style can be when it's not implemented by a high-skill team.
Well said. And unfortunately, we helped their rebuild slightly, and one reason I don't miss Dan Richardson is for the Chris Yaron trade, which unfortunately turned into a decent young Keith Ford, which I wouldn't mind having, but, you know, you can't cry over spilt milk. But, yeah, I think your overall analysis is quite true, that they're only just started rebuilding. They are at rock bottom right now, and which is why, oh my God, I just can't believe I'm this confident. I think we're going to cover a 30-point spread.
They showed an ability last year at times to absorb pressure. I think if they follow through on the rhetoric, and look, in some of the preseason they have been more attacking, if they really do give that a go, I think we're going to stitch them up. Because, you know, we're very good at creating turnovers and very good playing the game in their half, creating turnovers, scoring from those turnovers. And I'm extremely confident we'd be able to play that style of game against them. What could go wrong if they do manage to slow the game down? They're pretty good in their key defensive spots. They got three big guys back there, Jones, Marchbank and Plowman, you know, that slow the game down, make us kick to a contest, get numbers back, and hope that we could kick for goal badly in a low-scoring game. That's how we can lose.
Yeah, but, like, that's hard to do. You know, our matchups, we will stress their backup match, their backline matchups, as we've done to much better teams than them, because we're unconventional and the tools don't know who to play.
Yeah, and they do have some good young midfielders coming through. Paddy Dow, the top five draft pick, Zach Fisher, who debuted last year, Matthew Kennedy, who they got from GWS. Obviously, Mark Murphy's still there. They've got a little bit of, you know, some guys like Cade Simpson who's still around. Sort of, they've got some of the good players from yesterday and the good players from tomorrow. So, you know, if they get on the roll like young teams, they could be dangerous. Charlie Curnow, he's the one who really makes me jealous, unfortunately. I think he's going to be a really good player. And I might be being a bit old-fashioned, but I wouldn't mind. Like a third tall forward type like Jack Silvani, I really wouldn't mind at Richmond either. But otherwise, they don't scare me very much. Matthew Wright's their most defendable forward, and he's just not that good.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, so it's going to be an emotional night because, as you mentioned before, the flag unfailing, and good luck. We've got a friend who'll be part of the entourage, and no one could deserve it more for the support he's given to the club. So I think we're going to get it done.
So I'm going to go the full experience, London Tavern, punt road for the VFL practice game, onto the MCG for the unveiling of the flag, you know, All Nations Hotel afterwards. Like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Actually, the most interesting thing, but potentially from the day, or one of the most interesting, not the most, but what would be interesting would be the VFL, because some really exciting kids. Noah Bolter, obviously, I think. Well, and Jack Higgins, and to a less extent, Miller. I think all very exciting kids to be checking out.
I know, and, you know, hopefully the weather's good. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the football season.
I couldn't agree more. Dad, now, did we didn't in the last show mention Damien Hardwick's contract. I don't have strong feelings about it. There's internet speculation Damien took less money, which allowed for the longer contract, which would allow more space to pay our system. If that's true, I hope I'm all in favour, because I'm far more concerned about Blake Carousella's contract status than Dimmer. I didn't think Dimmer was going anywhere, but I think Blake may leave us at some stage. So, but you know, it's also true on the internet that everyone says they took less money, and the market for coaches is far less liquid than it is for players. So I don't know if you can definitively say those things, but you know, I don't have strong feelings about it. It's a long contract, but it's all about, to me, keeping the whole team together.
Oh, look, 3 years is more than we would have ever imagined. As people have said, he'll be our longest serving coach. If he sees it out, look, if things do turn badly at some stage during the contract, it's hard not to think that he will move on after being at the club so long. But I've heard it pretty solidly that he did take less money, and if so, that's a real tribute to the guy, because, you know, he's a premiership coach and there's a lot of highly paid AFL coaches who can't say that. So, look, good luck to him.
Yeah, I think if you were to look at him, he's probably going to go when this generation of elite players goes. Like, I think perhaps in his darkest times, what saved him is that he clearly has a fairly good relationship with some of our best players, and there'll be, at some point, there's going to need to be a generational change. But while Dusty's in his prime, while Rance is in his prime, while the window's open, why make the change?
Yeah, then there's absolutely no impetus to at the moment.
So anyway, Nick, I think this is unique and uncharted borders for us. But it's very exciting. Flag unveiling. Carlton game, which frankly is probably the least nerve-wracking Carlton game than round one. And I just think this podcast started many years ago with us nervous and terrified before the Carlton game, and which we lost, by the way. And I think how far we come, how far we've come, and football is cyclical. And one day we'll be on the bottom again, and Carlton will start beating us again. But right now we're on top, and let's enjoy it for what it is, and hope that we get the right result on Thursday night.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
And hi, this is Andy with just an additional note that if you like the new theme song, which we now play the short version at the start and the long version at the end, it's done by Aaron Cook from Aaron Cook Music, which is on Audio Spark and Pond 5.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers, 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the most fun.
37 years and the Tigers are
like
king.
The Tiger of old, the storm and the bulls will win the Tiger.
Just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conjun. Left off snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and they just got to keep riding the wave.
Martin, 3 votes.